up this morning with the sundown shining in. Oh.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, no thanks, that's Jack. I'm the Maui's Mr. Mailover. SP Futures up 21. NASDAQ Futures up 66. Dow Futures up 168. Kind of erasing most of the sell-off yesterday, at least so far, although these things seem to be coming and going on a daily basis. And any little tweet, any little move, there's just nobody in the way either way. Anybody who's been listening to the show for 8 years that... hear me talk about the fabric of the market is, shouldn't be a surprise that we just wander off in one direction and nobody's in the way. Now we have, so your president, man, he canceled his meeting with the Greenland prime minister, or Dutch over the Danish prime minister over him not letting us buy Greenland.
Yeah, Kenny, our guy Kenny was tweeting about that. He goes, I'm confused. Did Donald Trump really think that Greenland was for sale? I mean, is it just me?
You don't understand. He wants to buy it, so that means it's for sale.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So we had two good earnings last night, Target and Lowe's. Is everybody getting the feeling that if you have pricing power, like these Home Depot, I shop at Home Depot and Target and Lowe's a real lot, and I would say that if... By the way, Manny, how do they give you the receipts that after 2 years, even if you keep them in a cool, dry place, you can't read them anymore?
It really is something, isn't it?
Yeah.
They tend to fade after, what, 3 months, 6 months?
Yeah. But I'm going to guess that if I would compare...
Especially the Home Depot ones.
Yeah, if I would compare that with 4 or 5 years ago, I'd find dramatic increases in prices all across the line. And yet we choose to ignore, like, all that. But anyway, Target seems to be doing pretty well. Anybody who can lock into this online thing, which they have been. But do you get the feeling that For every winner, there's like a loser, even though retail sales are definitely up. And I get this odd feeling, especially yesterday after we talked about that, even people that have their hospitalization paid for by work, their part of it is not keeping up with their, even the little bit extra you have to pay every year, which seems a little bit in terms of contribution and a deductible, is not matching people's wage increase. Not even beginning to think about the people who are paying for it themselves. So whenever I see these retail sales numbers go up, I don't know why, maybe I instinctively look to the credit card numbers and see the debt going up. I mean, I don't know that people are going back to school and buying kids $500 worth of crap with cash, do you?
No.
I mean, I just don't see it. And, anyway, here's an interesting article. Negative yielding corporate debt poses risk for investors unlike anything they've ever seen. The negative yielding corporate debt recently passed $1 trillion in market value. Investors holding the bonds for price appreciation face sophisticated risk should rates start to rise. Says Jim Bianco of Bianco Research, the financial system doesn't work with negative rates. The economy recovers, the losses investors would take are unlike anything they've ever seen. I mean, we are in areas, and nothing frustrates me more than from the president on down, who's absolutely the worst of it. And the thing is now, I used to think he did it just because he didn't understand. Now I'm convinced after listening to his press conference yesterday that he's doing it on purpose. he's leading people down the wrong path, the wrong way on purpose. Like calling people this, calling people that. And, I'm gonna say that before any, well, I don't think I'd ever let anybody do it at PTI, but I mean, if somebody wanted to buy a negative wristband, I'd almost have to make them take a test, and I'd give them a calculator. What happens if the rates go back to normal? What happens to your band? I'm not talking about if somebody's dumb enough to do a 6-month negative rate bill or something. Okay, if you're dumb enough to give somebody $100 and 6 months get $99 back, I guess knock yourself out. I don't know why you'd do that, but at least you know it's only a buck. But if you put somebody, God bless it, if I put somebody or allowed somebody to put themselves in even a 30-year band at 1% at PTI when they're like 65, and all of a sudden 4 years later the rates go to like 5 or 6, the thing's going to be trading 50%. I mean, if I did the math, it might be lower than that. I mean, good Lord, the last thing you want is somebody, you know, older or anybody to lose that kind of money on a bond where they think it's safe. I mean, I guess in 30 years you're going to get your money back, but a lot of bad crap can happen in the meantime. I just don't think people are doing the math, man. We're in an economic area where unless you've had some training and some education, it's really hard to even figure out what the hell's going on, because I don't think the people in charge know what the hell's going on. And we're talking about, interest rates. I'll see if I can find them here. Interest rates in Germany, I'll see what they are this morning. They're probably minus 0.7. The guy's talking about easing. How do you ease from minus 0.7? I mean, what are we doing here? And it's almost like you ask the questions and you can't even. Let's see, the Bund minus 0.666. So it's actually it dipped to minus 0.7 last week. So I guess the interest rates are up a hair. Ours are 1.58, up 0.02. Japan is minus 0.24. That's special. So maybe the Cubs back on track. What's going on with Milwaukee?
Well, Milwaukee's played a tough schedule, played St. Louis, and they've been struggling, and they find themselves 4 games back now all of a sudden, 3.5 back of the Cubs, 4 back of the Cardinals, who are a half a game ahead of the Cubs. The Cardinals have won 9 out of 11 and made up all the ground that the Cubs had on them. And now
they
look
like they were
lead.
Toast there for a while. They were losing, what did they lose, like 6 in a row?
Yeah, but they're playing really well, and the Cubs have won 3 in a row, and they're... half game out. It's going to be a race, and the Cubs and Cardinals play each other a lot here in the last 6 weeks of the season. So it's going to be interesting.
They got 6 games left or 9?
I think at least 6. I'll have to check.
It's some pretty good races. You look at some of these teams now. I was surprised at the lineup that San Francisco has, and well, they still think they're wild card eligible. I mean, ready. But I mean, they've got that kid. Yaz's kid has been a really good rookie. Yaz's grandkid. And they got, Buster Posey's not having a best year, but he's still Buster Posey. I'm surprised they haven't put him in another spot other than catcher by now.
Yeah, I think they've start him here and there at first base and other places. The Giants, by the way, are 4.5 out of a wild card spot, having dropped 2 in a row. So they're fading a little bit, but they're, not out of it. It's, Nationals have the top wild card. The Cubs, being a half game out behind St. Louis, now have the second wild card, 1 game behind the Nationals. And then you have the Phillies 2 games back, the Mets 2 games back. The Brewers are now 3.5 out of a wild card spot. Our Diamondbacks are 4 out, and then the Giants are 4.5 out. So I would say the Giants have a shot, but they need to go on a streak here because they have, 6 teams ahead of them fighting for 2 spots.
Well, if they get swept in Chicago, it's not going to help.
No. And the Cubs are behind the Dodgers, the best home team in the National League. So when they're at Wrigley, they're just a completely different team, and they don't lose very often.
According to your know-it-all announcers at the ESPN the other night, when they were talking about the teams that are either going to make it to the World Series or we're liable to win, the Cubs didn't even get a sniff.
I would agree with that. I mean, I do think that baseball's enough of a crapshoot that if you can just find a way to get into the playoffs and you have a couple of hot starting pitchers, you can go on a run. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen 85, 88, 89 win teams win the World Series, from the wild card spot just because they got hot at the right time. The Cardinals did it, 10 years ago. And I think they only won 85 games that year with Tony La Russa and stuff.
Yeah, but you need a pitcher that is going to give you, what's his name? Ershizer or what was the guy that his foot was bleeding?
Kurt Schilling.
You need someone to give you those kind of performances, and the Cubs starting pitchers could be terrific, but they're going after five.
Yeah, the Cubs, I mean, like I said, I would have, I mean, if you asked me who I think the top four or five teams are that have a chance to win the World Series, I don't think I would put the Cubs in that. But, like I said, baseball, if you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. We see it every year. And it's very rare that a team like the Red Sox last year just dominate, you know, opening day all the way through and win the World Series. I mean, it does happen, but it seems to be pretty rare. And so this year I feel like the Dodgers are the team to beat, and certainly in the National League. And then, you know, in the American League, you have some really good teams with the Astros and the Yankees and the Twins. So it's going to be interesting, and I would put all those teams ahead of the Cubs. But if the Cubs can have a good final 6 weeks here and either win the division or get into the wild card and win that wild card game, then I would say they have a shot. I mean, it's a lower percentage than those teams I just mentioned, but it's still a shot.
It would totally go against any book. You can't do that. Okay, one thing you can't do is screw up by going against the quote book. God help you if you go against the sabermetrics. Even though.
Darn right, God help you.
Yeah, God help you if you do that. But the only way the Cubs win one of these games, series, is for them to say, okay, we've got five pitchers. They're all pretty good. They're all about even. How about we're going on 3 days rest, you're pitching five innings, and when Hendricks is done with his five, Quintana comes in for the next four. And after, you have to,
That's what they did in Game 7 of the World Series. It was Hendricks, and then it was Lester, and then it was...
I'm not talking about...
Chapman, and then Chapman blew it. And then it was like, oh, crap, now what do we do?
I'm not talking about the guy who, I'm talking about to come in to pitch a full four innings, that he's not going to get a start.
Yeah, that's what they did with Lester in Game 7.
But he'd already had starts during the...
Well, I know, I'm saying, but to your point, we got to win these games, we're going to start our best pitchers. In the wild card game last year, in the wild card game, I think they did that with, I can't remember who they started, but then Hamels came in like the fourth, and Hamels pitched four innings. And
right.
Then, I mean, that's what you have to do. I agree. It's no holds bar in the playoffs.
But I think one of the sabermetrics book things that's been part of baseball, and I agree with, I think he's dead, Sparky Anderson, so that's how long ago, you know, he said if you're going to start people, or if you can expect people to not pitch more than 90 pitches or 80 and only go five innings, they don't need 4 days rest. Because what do you need 4 days rest if you're only pitching 80 pitches? You can easily go with three.
Yeah, and in the playoffs, no one does 4 days rest.
I understand what I'm saying. Three. His point was during the season. If you're really talking about pitching five innings, you don't need 4 days rest.
I don't think you...
Yeah, here's the difference, though, Tom, is that now... You know, now everybody is throwing high 90s fastballs or mid 90s fastballs. The way they pitch is much higher stress on the arm than the way that they once paced themselves. You know, there weren't a lot of, Bob Gibsons or Don Drysdales around who could just throw smoke and then, you know, come back and for nine innings and then come back and do it again. Now everybody's, you know, throwing it at the high speeds, and that works well because of the way that they manage pitch counts and bullpens and things like that. And, you know, they just tell them to go out there and go for it. And so when you put that kind of extra stress on your arm, even if it's only for six innings, it's a lot.
All right, now
so, you
that.
Know the way they play the game and manage the game, and the way that the offenses manage the game too, you know, working pitch counts and things like that is very, very different from when Sparky Anderson was the manager.
But you also look at how many pitchers in our lifetime or the last 5 or 10 years have had huge arm, a couple of years, maybe 3, 4, 5, get the inevitable Tommy John surgery. Come back, throw the ball 5 miles an hour or less, and are better pitchers after they come back. Maybe they should learn some of that.
Some, and there's guys like Kyle Hendricks that know how to pitch. But, you know, part of the Tommy John equation is that they abuse these kids' arms when they're young. I almost look at a draft pick, a pitcher draft pick now, and say, well, has he had a Tommy John surgery yet?
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice to have that in the rearview mirror because it is inevitable because they put so much stress. These guys, they get in high school and they're playing on two or three teams, you know, and, and, and everybody wants the guy to be, you know, my stud pitcher, and they get abused. You should pick up Jeff Passan's book, The Arm. It's really good, and it kind of gets into all of how this is managed and why it's so important. But I'll even go back to reading an article about some research, and this was, you know, I was a kid, maybe, you know, or young adult when Doc Gooden was young. And, you know, their contention was built around the number of innings pitched by age 25. And they said, you know, once you get to age 25, you're physically mature, you know, you're kind of built out. And they said, so the they did some statistical analysis, and based on how many innings you pitched, you could predict the longevity. And what they said of Gooden is he will be a really fast track to 150 wins, and he probably won't reach 200. And they were right. Now, there were other, you know, drugs contributed to that as well, to shortening his career, but they were right. You
know? Drugs might have contributed to 150 wins. Just saying, you know. But it is interesting that people have been saying this for a long time, and I for some reason, Kevin, I actually listened almost word for word to Messina and A-Rod the other night, which I don't know why I did that, but heard some interesting stuff. And Messina evidently is coaching high school basketball, essentially in his hometown, which I guess must be Williamsport. And he helps out on the baseball team, and he said, this whole idea of playing baseball from April to October, when you're a little leaguer, he says, you're out of your mind. He says, I was a three sport athlete, and that's how you develop yourself. You don't want to. He goes, how many people even stop to think that the same, maybe it's not exactly the same. He says the same weight baseball that a grown man is throwing, a 12-year-old is throwing. Why would you want a 12-year-old doing that 9 months of the year? You know, it's pretty dramatic when you think about it, and yet there are people that know the game and know this, and doctors and everything, and yet the incredible proliferation of these traveling teams and people doing after the Little League season and this and that, it continues to get, in my mind, worse and worse. So I mean, is there you're more of a slave to getting your kid into the major leagues than you are listening to what doctors are telling you?
I mean, it's a lot more fun to play multiple sports too.
Well, yeah, I would agree.
I mean, if you played, I love baseball. Baseball and basketball have always been my two favorite sports growing up, and I love playing them. But I'd play football, I played golf, we did all kinds of stuff. And if you just played baseball year round, I think there's a good chance you would stop loving it. And then if it's not fun, what's the point?
Well, I would say in the fall, we played either in high school or certainly in college in Notre Dame. We were on that, we played touch football every afternoon. Then when it got too cold, you moved into the gym and you played basketball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then in the spring, well, actually the spring, we were out of there in the middle of May, so we never really, although we did play in the softball league there, and won, by the way, every year.
Yeah, but then you'd come home and play serious softball all summer. Yeah.
But we still have Kevin, or he blink out?
I think he's back.
Oh, I'm back. I'm driving to Lafayette, and who knew that there is a cellular dead spot at North Liberty, at the booming metropolis of North Liberty.
Hey, allegedly, Kevin, although, you know, I know you're in tip-top shape, allegedly in Lafayette, or West Lafayette, from one of those towns, is a spectacular burger place that was on the Diners Drive Diners, whatever that show is. Like one of the best in the country.
Maybe I'll check it out. I get out of the event at 3, so we'll see.
I'm sure if you Googled spectacular burger place Lafayette or West Lafayette, it'll pop right up.
Yeah, I can probably do it, do diners, drives, diners, et cetera, in West Lafayette, too. So one or the other. I'll check it out.
The guy makes the huge thing where they cut grind it themselves, then they use a big glass to cut it so all the hamburgers are the same. They use a glass, and then that's your burger.
I found it. It's called Triple X Restaurant, 2 North Salisbury
Street. Well, that sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah.
2 North Salisbury Street, West Lafayette, Indiana, featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives burger episode.
There you go.
There you go. Triple X.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I actually will be in West Lafayette, not Lafayette. So.
And this is West Lafayette, yep.
Are you going to go over and hang around at Purdue for a while?
Have you been to Purdue before?
I was there one day. It was like 90-some degrees. I remember the seats being black. was warm.
Yeah, well, all I'll tell you is, no, there's no reason to hang out at Purdue.
What's
I will be instead at the Indiana Manufacturers Association. How's that?
Really? Good for you. Are the Irish ever going to play Purdue again?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, I think they have some future stuff booked.
That's no Michigan State ever, though, huh?
Yeah, I'd have to look at the schedule going forward. Their ACC commitment has nicked some fun stuff.
Yeah.
This year, looking at their schedule, they have some fun games. They open in against Louisville here in a couple weeks, and then at Georgia, which is going to be an awesome game.
Yeah, well, something. Yeah.
Then you have Bowling Green, which should be your kind of one cupcake. Then you're at Michigan, so that's big time. And then at Duke, which is never easy. And then, you know, as you get
Duke's terrible.
Yeah, I know, but when at Duke is never easy. At least when I watch them, for whatever reason, they usually have one or two upsets at home.
Venue never wins a football game.
Yeah, that's what you tell me. No, but obviously, yeah. No one else agrees with that.
Yeah.
And then
guys like me and John Madden, you know,
you get into the ACC, but then outside of the ACC, obviously you play USC, and then you play Stanford. I mean, it's a good looking schedule on paper.
Well, they lucked out, and the only good team in the ACC they're playing is Georgia.
They're not in the ACC.
Oh,
they're in the SEC.
Well, so they're not playing any of the good teams in the ACC.
In the ACC, I mean, Virginia Tech, I don't know how good they are.
But they're missing Clemson.
Yeah, they miss Clemson. They miss, I mean, who else? The ACC is not a great conference.
Well, they miss
Miami.
Yeah,
what
Miami.
They do is they cycle through the ACC five teams a season. So every three seasons they play somebody. They play each team.
Yeah, they're missing Miami, they're missing Clemson.
Yeah, and with Florida State being down as they've been the last few years, that really hurts the conference.
True. Yeah.
So, you know, Virginia could be okay. It's always hard to tell, but they're probably a low-level bowl caliber team.
That's right. I put the Irish, as a mid-level bowl team this year. They'll be 10-2.
If they go 10-2, they'll play on New Year's Day. They'll be in the second tier.
Yeah, well, that won't be horrible.
They won't be in the crappy bowl on Tuesday night during the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, they're
they go 10-2.
Yeah, they're preseason ranked 9th in the country. If they go 10-2 against this schedule, I would say yeah, they're definitely getting New Year's bowl team.
Well, I know it was a long conversation with Kevin's alter ego Beldo yesterday, and he's got his sights that have him losing to Michigan and Georgia.
Well, I would say they're definitely not going to be favored in those two games, and they're probably going to be—they probably will be favored in every other game.
Well, Southern Cal's at home, and they're not their usual. And I think Stanford's got maybe he's a little down as well.
Stanford is preseason ranked 20th, and it's at Stanford, so that won't be easy. But I still think on paper Notre Dame's probably favored.
You know what's weird about Bell, my buddy has got this new thing now where he's all over people on scholarship, and if you wonder how some of these teams. Obviously, are better than others. I hate to say, if you listen to Beldo, you learn something because God, that's I don't want to go down that road. But like the Irish, had a really struggle to have 85 people on scholarship this year, which is the max. They almost had a gray shirt. They're like their first guy. But he says you're like Alabama's and your Georgias and your Clemson's really have closer to 95 guys where they gray shirt 5 or 10 where they. They allegedly go to some junior college where they're supposed to be paying for it themselves, but they can still practice them. This kind of crap. But he was telling me, I don't know if this is true, Kevin, or they probably beefed it up since then. He said, as of
Yeah, they get the occasional guy that'll pay his way for a semester so that he can kick into the next year's recruiting. And if you're an Alabama kid and you grow up loving the school and that's what you want to do and you're paying in-state tuition and can afford it, that's a good option for them too. But yeah, they do what they can to increase the roster.
And there might actually be one listener.
This is one of the things that one of the reasons I think so many college coaches in either basketball or football struggle. Part of my theory is that the rules are much harder to break at the pro level. All various kinds of rules. Or to stretch. You got a roster, you might be able to stash a guy on the injured list for a while or something like that, but you cannot stack, 10 extra guys on your roster in the NFL. It, it, it's, you just can't do it. And, you know, I think all the shenanigans that they have, plus, you know, the ability to stockpile players, especially if you can buy them, you just can't do that in the pro leagues in the same way. And I think that means it's very, very difficult for some of these guys who are shady as hell in college to go be successful in the pros because they have to follow rules.
Do you think that if we have...
Maybe
we,
the kids need a union.
If we have a listener that actually thinks that that kid is really paying his own tuition, I'd love to hear from him. SP Futures up 20. Anyway, Beldo's point was that Stanford only had 58 people on scholarship like last May. That's you're 27 people below the number. I mean, I don't know how you practice an inevitable
injury. Yeah, you're screwing yourself.
Yeah.
You're screwing yourself.
SP Futures up 20.
Tyrone Willingham did that.
Yeah, Dow Futures up 160. NASDAQ Futures up 60. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stop! Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. The investment features of 1975. We were down yesterday like 20-something, 29, so we're made back two-thirds of that. NASDAQ futures down 57. The Dow futures up 160. Big news last night was Target and Lowe's both came out with good earnings. And this retail whole side is somewhat amazing to me. I mean, the numbers came out pretty high, up 0.7%. And the big guys seem to be doing well. The Home Depot, the Walmarts, Target, and the Lowe's. Other guys, not so much. Kohl's not so good. A few other places, not so good. So it's kind of where you are in this whole mess. Also, I really do think that there's I know I harp on this a little bit. The inflation, I looked at some of the Walmart numbers. The same-store sales are up 2.9%, but amount of tickets is only up 0.6%. So that, to me, seems that your inflation is 2.3, easy. And nobody gives you a hint anymore as to what that even means. They'll never give you an inflation-based number at any of these places. So you just have to, I guess, guess at it. I guess, is that the way to put this? DAX up 133, 1.1%. FTSE up 79, 1.1. The Fed minutes are coming out today. So everybody's hoping to see that there's been more easing. I mean, I don't know how much more easing you need than the negative, but it's where we are. CAC run up 80, 1.5. By the way, for anybody who listens to our president and other people beat up on our Federal Reserve, if you take the inflation rate into focus, we already are at negative real interest rates. And why we want to be there, again, I'm not going to sort of. I mean, how about doing traffic, weather, and sports, and I'll get the Asian stuff when we come back.
I can do that. 6:38 on the dot. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area after a crazy morning yesterday. We're off to a little bit better start, unless you're, of course, involved in this crash. Western suburbs, I-355 northbound, just before Roosevelt Road, there is an accident that's blocking the right lane, and that's causing some delays heading northbound on the Veterans Memorial I-355. But everything else looking okay out there. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, but no accidents. Southside Expressway is looking good. Weather today, we begin a stretch of really nice sunny days and some dry days for the next several days through the weekend anyway. Partly cloudy skies, a little bit of humidity today, a high of 85. Right now it's clear and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot, a high of 114 today. But right now it's clear and 82. In sports, Cubs won their third straight, powered by a couple of Anthony Rizzo home runs as they jumped out to a 2-0 lead and held on to beat the Giants 5-3. They remain a half game behind St. Louis, who blew out the Brewers 9-4. Cubs hold the second wild card spot and are one game out of the first wild card spot behind the Nationals. So the Cubs are in a couple of races right now. The White Sox were blown out by the Twins up in Minnesota. 14-4 was the final in that one. White Sox had a 3-run lead, and they were outscored 14-1 the rest of the way. Lastly, the Diamondbacks' thin wild card hopes are still alive. They topped the Rockies last night 8-7. Chief.
Well, we've got some, as I've been mentioning, again, this is a non-scientific survey, but I've been mentioning that most of the time, it seems like anyway, that if you were to do these earnings plays, obviously the straddle, the call and the put the day before, gives you some indication of what the market's estimate is for how much the stock is going to move. And most of the time, they're either, the market, are either spot on, or I think you probably could do a little better if you essentially sold all of them, which of course nobody can do, especially here. We wouldn't let anybody sell naked calls and puts, so that's not really a strategy. But just saying, if you could, a professional could. I mean, somebody who's got a $3 million account, would you let the guy sell a 5-lot straddle? Yeah, and a bunch of stuff. I think most of the time somebody would probably win at that, because a lot of people can't do it. So options, I think, are priced properly. They're probably slightly skewed to the upside because not as many people can sell as can buy. I mean, when I say slightly, I mean really slightly, because I think they are priced properly. Anyway, I think the straddle yesterday in Target, because I was going to put a position on in there, and thank God I didn't, was like $5, $5.50. Stock's up $13.36. So you blew through that straddle like essentially dinner through a goose. Lowe's was about the same price, maybe a little less. They're up 11.63, so huge winners for the straddle buyers, which, again, I'm going to say the last, certainly this earnings period, I think you'd have wanted to have been a straddle buyer the whole way. I mean, somebody must keep track of this, and I hope I can find it so I can actually say that if you bought the straddle in the entire S&P 100, say, that you'd have been a winner or a loser. But there's got to be somebody somewhere who keeps track of everything, right, Kevin?
I do. Yeah, yeah. I have it all.
When are you going to get like a PhD degree in that place in economics? Economics.
Let's,
so I
let's
can
go
like,
with never.
Well, but how do I get like a group of gnomes I can give these projects to, like they used to be able to at the University of Chicago, where eight guys would be hanging around Milton Friedman just waiting to do his next research.
I can set you up, Tom. I can set you up with interns who will do the work for you. You just got to pay them.
They didn't have to pay anybody in University of Chicago. Or they, if they did, the school paid them. Milt never paid them.
No, I'll get you guys to pay them. That's, you know, that's all.
Well, you can always find people if you want to pay them.
Give you such a leg up that it'll be worth it for you. Plus, you know, I'm just advocating for my students.
Well, I'm just saying.
Just go back to the retail numbers. The thing is, I think the 0.6% is not bad, and I think the predictions were for half of that. So that's not bad. What I would like to know then is what's the makeup of that, because that really gets you to that true inflation number. So, you know, is it bigger ticket items? Are people doing more capital improvements to the homes and to the exteriors and so on, or is it all in inflation? And I'm sure it could be a combination of the two. It could be all in inflation. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I mean, I know that because I've been doing remodeling off and on now for 5 or 6 years, that, I mean, I'll go to a plasterboard place and there'll be a sign there saying that it was 3 years ago that their wholesale price went up like 40% in the first quarter of the year. That was probably 2016. So, you know, the weird part is the way we do these numbers, we never actually pick up. Here's my concern with it, Kevin, is that the numbers are actually, if you did the math, from what I think the simple way of doing it, it's really ass backwards. Because if for instance, plasterboard is one-tenth of 1% of the basket, and plasterboard like doubles. So at the new price, so now you double it at 0.1%, but still that's basically a pimp on the ass, the elephant, or the whole CPI, right? But now it's worth. But now at the new price, it's worth 0.3%. But now it stays steady for 3 years. You never actually pick up that whole doubling piece. You know what I'm saying? Because
next year it's 0%.
Right.
You say ain't that great?
Yeah, you say ain't that great.
So your baseline, sometimes your baseline needs to look back more than year over year.
Right. I don't know if I dig it out.
As we discuss with college tuition all the time.
Right.
It may not, the increases are pretty big year over year anyway, but they don't sound like huge numbers. But when you tack on, just say you tack on 3% every year, that winds up being a pretty big number before
right.
too long.
Well, that's, if I have, actually I just sort of cleaned my place and I had all this stuff people had sent me that I ran off, and there are people that have gone back and I keep trying to find them now, and I can't find the same people doing the same studies, but say up to 2016, people would take a 10-year look back or 15 or 20-year look back at like all, at certain categories. They'll pick 10 things. They'll have, college tuition up like 1,000% or some ridiculous number, or 700% over a 15-year period. And they'll look at people's wages over a 15-year period and they're up 30% or 40%. I mean, it's not even brand of ball. And then, tickets in a Major League Baseball game are up 1,000% or 800%. And, so there's a list of stuff that you never catch up on. And I think that once in a while you need to do, like you're saying, kind of a look back, like where are we here? And it's not the same.
Yeah, that's what I always say about statistics, is they should cause you to ask questions, not to sit there and say, oh, I see the answer.
Yeah,
that you should, it should cause you to always dig in. You know, and let's, you know, what would be your question about college tuition? Mine would be, number one, I'd like to look at the expense line of the colleges and see where it's all going. But aside from that, wouldn't you like to know how much is, what's happened to out of pocket across the board? Now, anybody who is not eligible for financial aid is paying the high tab. But
right.
in the economy in general, wouldn't it be interesting to know how much the, out of pocket payments have changed versus how much is coming from the federal and state governments, because you might learn that all we're really doing is we're tax, you know, wealthy people are paying more because they don't qualify, which I think a lot of people salute that idea, but then the rest of it says that the government is just donating to the colleges.
Well, did you happen to catch that?
I would hypothesize that you find that to be true.
By the way, did I send you, I don't know if I sent it to you the other day, I dug up an article, and there's always an article, right? And they just rated the top 25 universities in terms of value. I don't know if you saw that or not. I got it here somewhere. I'll dig it out, and on Friday we'll tweet it out or whatever. And, when you are
back. Yeah, tweet it out, we can talk about it Friday.
Because it has to do with the numbers they use, Kevin. Now, this talk about a gross misrepresentation of the facts. I mean, in my opinion, they look at the average price actually paid by students versus the list price.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, but if a student has a loan, he's going to pay for it eventually, right?
True. But if he has a grant and a Pell Grant to spend on books and some of the expenses and state funding. You know, for example, my weekend supply chain program for working people. Anybody who doesn't have a degree is eligible for Indiana's Next Level Jobs Workforce Ready Grant. It'll be 100% paid.
Okay, but I guess
you don't even have to. You don't even have to have need. You just can't have a degree already.
Understand that, but I'm saying to say that the actual price, the average price of, say, by the way, the Irish were nowhere near the top on this. The number one was at University of California, Irvine, because they claim the average price that people actually pay is like 18 or something. Now, this obviously isn't including room and board, but I mean, they had like Duke at 21,000. Well, I don't think you can take, you know, the wealthy Maddie Weber in 18 years when young Maddie goes to Duke and the number's 150 that Maddie shells out, that you can say that out of the endowment at Duke, they're bringing four people from, you know, Africa or South America or someplace and they're charging them nothing. I don't see how you say the average is 20. I mean, that's about this.
Well, first of all, Maddie Jr. is going to be on a basketball scholarship.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Why, just because Maddie shoots all the time, it doesn't mean the kid's going to be good. You got to play defense, you know?
Hey, you got to be unconscious out there. The next one's going in every time.
Yeah, first one over half court shoots. Yeah. It was always the rule of the playground. But I mean,
you're going to be the next Grayson, what's the guy's last name?
Grayson Allen?
Yeah. But, you know, I just, the way you maneuver these statistics, plus, Kevin, what you just said is the most. I know people like to hit up on rich people, which, but the idea, I don't think America is ready yet, and maybe never will. I sure hope that they never are, that if you make more money than somebody else, maybe you went to school, maybe you work harder, maybe you just were lucky, who the hell knows, that when you walk in, the guy behind the counter has four different prices of hamburger, and if he sees you wearing a suit, he pulls out the high price. I don't think that's the America I'm looking for. I don't see how it works that way in colleges. I don't see how that works that way in hospitals. Matter of fact, I think it really sucks.
From each according to his ability, to each according to his need.
Yeah,
that's where we're going, pal.
I don't know if that's the direction. The idea is to have everybody be able to afford the hamburger, right? Isn't that the idea?
God, you're such a Republican sometimes.
Oh, I know. I mean,
such a classic Republican. I don't think there, you know, I don't think there is anything about the Republican Party now that I would consider Republican.
Oh, I don't either. Plus, I was having a little sit down yesterday with somebody who was a Democrat. Don't worry, the Democratic Party will figure it out. I said, how do you have a party figure it out when you know you need minority representation and you need to get the minorities voting again because they didn't last time? And the first thing you do is put 20 idiots on a stage, and the three women and the two black people do nothing but say what a racist and woman monger your number one candidate is. How do you let your party do that?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that and then you look at some of the tactics. You know, as Lou likes to say, all they have to do to win is not be crazy, and they can't pull that off.
Can't pull it off.
I'll also say, think of some of these kinds of things. What's a key state? Wisconsin. I live there. I sort of know Wisconsin. I will tell you that if you go heavy duty on gun control and even advocate confiscation, that's a problem in Wisconsin. And part two is, if you stall this new trade agreement, the new North American trade agreement, or the U.S., Mexico, Canada, you stall that, that's a problem to the dairy farming industry. They're just
right.
Tactically giving away Wisconsin.
Well, right. I
don't think they know it. I don't think they realize it. I just think they think, well, we'll show up this time and they'll love us.
You know what they need to do, Kevin and I, and why should I advise them? I'm not getting paid for it. What they honestly need to do, this is what you're supposed to do at your convention. I would say that the Democratic Party, and maybe the Republican Party, although Trump's got it all balled up, the Democratic Party needs to go somewhere. Where are we? August? September 15th. And they need to, because they're not just looking for who the candidate is going to be. They're looking for the direction the party's going. And that's very dangerous during a campaign. Because people are going to say stuff that the other side can, not only the other people can use against you in the primary, but the other people can then, they need a 4-day weekend convention somewhere and say, who are we? What is our platform? That no matter who you are running for our nomination, these are the things that that we want that are crucial to this party. And they're nowhere near from there. The idea that you have 20 people sniping at people for 6 months is not a party. I don't think.
That's not. And then part two of that is they're so focused on find me the candidate who can win instead of the best candidate. And the last time they did that, they gave us John Kerry, who was an awful candidate.
Right.
He wasn't as bad as Hillary Clinton as a candidate, but he was a terrible candidate.
Right.
Thought he was more electable than what's the guy from Vermont, Howard, what's his last name?
Howard Dean,
yeah. Howard Dean was the early front runner, and they said, oh, God, nobody's going to, he's going to lose in the general. Let's go find us a candidate. We'll rally behind the candidate who can beat George Bush, which is what led to John Kerry, and he reported for duty, and it was all downhill from there.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I mean, you need to have. I mean, what does the Democratic Party stand for? I mean, that was the most fascinating thing in the entire, the books I was reading on the Depression and World War II. The Democratic Party that Roosevelt essentially rode herd on, for lack of a better term. Talk about a combination of inner city, city manufacturing unions, mine unions, in southern, whatever you want to call them. the lynch mobs were all Democratic. What an amazing party to be part of. How you kept that group together?
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty awesome when you think
about it. The next one they're giving away is unions.
Yeah.
Even the public sector unions have a problem because they have the great health care plans, and and most of the candidates are saying, oh, no, you're not going to be able to have those anymore.
Well, yesterday, Kevin, I don't know if you were listening, but I dug up, and maybe we'll kick this one up a little bit Friday as well. I dug up one where, I've been, you know, talking for a long time, and especially when Carl's on, because he goes crazy on it. The people are paying their own hospitalization. How you have no concept of how inflation is hitting people if you essentially pull the healthcare piece out, which is what they do. I mean, at 5%, it's pulled out, right? I mean, 6%, sorry. I had not read anything definitive. Now, who knows where this lady got her stats, but I'm gonna take her word for it. But she went back 10 years and said that even people who are have been saying the same job that has hospitalization. So we're talking about, you know, I won't say the real jobs, but you're not talking about the $10 an hour job. You're talking about the job where you're making enough to where you have a benefit package that includes health care. And her research shows that the add-ons that you now have to help out with $100 a month or $150 a month, and your deductible is snuck up some. Says if you just look at that, that little piece has not kept pace. The increases in wages have not kept pace with just that.
You have less. So if you were to start comparing, if you compare the cost of premiums over time, that's gone up a lot.
No, the cost
of premiums for like policies.
She referenced
that. If
you
went back and said, what's it cost for a $1,200 deductible versus a $500 deductible? What's it cost for a $12,000 deductible versus what would that have cost you 10 years ago? It's an incredible difference.
Well, she gave you the number of what the firm's costs have gone up. Okay. But they've allayed that a little bit by passing more on to the people, right? Doesn't mean theirs haven't gone up.
Yep.
But what you're saying, the firm is now paying $1,500 a month more, $1,500 more, not more, but $1,500 where it used to pay 12 or 11, and now the person's picking up one or two, and oh, by the way, they're picking up a $6,000 deductible instead of four, or something along those lines.
Sure.
So, but
sure.
The point
is, it's like comparing the cost of a Chevy to when you say that's gone up compared to the Mercedes I used to drive.
Yeah,
it's higher than the Mercedes I used to drive, but also it's a Chevy, not a Mercedes.
Well, that's right, and when you look at these little things, and you keep saying, I mean, when we have the president and Larry Kudlow and the rest of the gang of whatever they are, come on, keep talking about. We're not in a recession. Yet I could probably point to, I'll bet Kevin, if I looked at everybody, five people in every one of the 10, 10 percentage chunks of life, I'll bet 7 of the 10 are in a recession, have never come out of a recession, where their real disposable income, after you take a few things out of it, is less every year in the last 8.
Yeah, and as I always tell you too, you also have to look at the micros as well as the macros,
right?
Because in some areas, they're way better than they were.
Yes, in some area, but I'm saying, even those people that now have a job versus not 5 years ago in your area, that where these companies put these distribution systems in there 8 years ago, the area is quote picked up. If you look at those individual people, okay. This year versus 7 years ago, what they're doing for hospitalization, what they're making, they're not making progress from 4 years ago, is what I'm saying. If they go to your place and get a certificate and jump from 20 grand a year to 40, well, yeah. But I'm saying if you look at the individual spots, I don't think people's disposable income has gone up in a lot of areas, even though they are working.
It has, like I said, in a lot of areas, no, and in other areas, yes. So, and in our case, RVs have slowed down tremendously.
Why is that? With gas,
I don't know if that's the same canary in the coal mine it used to be or not, because warehousing and distribution is still growing like crazy in my area.
Yeah, why is gasoline is never going to get any cheaper? Why are the RVs going down?
For a number of reasons. One, it may be that people, people aren't as optimistic about, but I think a lot of it was overproduction a couple of years ago. And
right,
so,
let's put that on our list.
A certain amount of depleting inventory.
Let's put that on our list on Friday. But have a good day. Enjoy yourself in West Lafayette. And why don't you get a double of those burgers?
I will.
Give us a complete.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Triple X restaurant.
Yes.
I'll go to some Triple X place. Hopefully it'll be the burger place.
Oh, God. Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/Jocks. S&P futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 57, big movers, Target up 1285, and Lowe's up 1166. Be right back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happening.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP futures up 19 and a quarter. As the futures up 55. It's roughly about halfway that we were down yesterday. For those who find it hard to keep track, yesterday we were down 23. Not halfway. Two-thirds of the way, at least. The futures were up, down more. They were down like 28. Dow Jones was down 173, and now it's up like 160. NASDAQ futures were down 54, and now they're up 55. So there you have it. Russell, how are you? How's being a professor this week?
Being a professor is kind of fun. Yesterday was move-in day for the students at Loyola, which is they have to have extra security at the downtown campus on move-in day because none of the parents want to get their minivans in line correctly. it's almost comical every year because, you know, they're trying to move in there at, you know, like State and Pearson, which is where the downtown, they have a dorm there. Could you imagine living in the dorm at State and Pearson?
No.
For those of you that have no idea what the professor is talking about, and if you live in a normal world, you shouldn't have any idea what he's talking about.
That's right.
Professor world. Yeah. Let's just say that when I went to school back when, you know, you had God knows what.
Covered wagons.
I mean, you had the dorms, and you pulled up. They let you in, you know, with your car or whatever, and I had the thing all loaded up, the stereo and this and the other thing. And you parked in back. You lucked your crap up three flights of steps or whatever, and you didn't have all that much. I mean, you didn't bring any furniture. You didn't bring any of that stuff. I was the only one who brought the 19-inch black and white TV, and I had my stereo, and you brought, you know, like four pairs of blue jeans, a few sweaters, and a bunch of T-shirts, and you were good to go. Basically, was that am I right, Russell? No, Russell would have 15 cardigans, but other than that, now
we have a different color for every day of the month.
That's right. Now, of course, they have these dorms, essentially in downtown Chicago. And the first time I noticed this, there's a dorm at I'm going to say Randolph and State. That when Robin, who has been on the show a few times, when her it was her stepdaughter went there. Well, I helped lug the stuff over because they were out of town and I had the Suburban, so we picked some stuff up. And well, the choreography of like one or two loading docks right off State Street on a Saturday when everybody's shopping and stuff, and you have your time, and they have like they must have had 40 kids with those huge what do they call those things, Manny, where the post office use them, like the big cart with the fabric sides that you can put all kinds of crap in. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, well, they
like a mail.
They had a bunch of those lined up outside of the dorm yesterday at Loyola. I'll tweet a picture in a sec.
But you would get like kids that the school would pay, and of course you'd give them a tip. Where they run down the line of cars and start unloading your stuff into those things. And if you had four of these guys and like three of these things, they'd basically unload the car, most of it, before you even got to the loading dock. So you're at the loading dock for maybe 5 minutes. It was huge choreography because you're essentially spun around the block downtown in a busy day, if you can even imagine that. But they do a pretty nice job at getting people all the crap out of their car. But of course, you know, the young ladies are bringing furniture and God knows how much clothes. It didn't look anything like me moving it as a sophomore. Let's put it that way. And I had the 19-inch TV. I was cumbersome, but I could manage to lug that up to the third floor myself. So, but it is really quite the choreography, wouldn't you say, Russell?
Oh yeah, it really was. And they got it down. They have it down to a science.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But one dad tried to get out of line and he was yelling at the security guard, and the security guard's going, "Sir, this is just, we have to do it this way." And he's like, "But there's nobody here." It was just, they have it down to a science.
Well,
do. They do a great job with it. It's just, to me, it will never cease to be comical that there's a dorm right there in the middle of the Gold Coast where people are paying, you know, next door I know somebody that's paying $3,500 for a studio.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, these kids they're paying. But I mean, we're not talking about, you know, Morrissey Hall, four of us, Dr. Blade and a couple other guys that have been on, well, one's been on here, we got these three little rooms and there's four guys and the bathroom's down the hall. That's not happening now. I mean, you're paying $10,000 for room and board. I mean, your daughter's got a bathroom there. She's not walking down the hall. I mean, it's a whole different world we live in, you know, which is fine, but can you imagine essentially a high rise building, I mean, it's not 80 stories, on State Street in Chicago, where how many people move in? 1,000 people move in a day or 2 days? And they manage to pull it all off.
They had a assigned time. They can only unload about three cars at a time because it's a similar situation to what you're talking about, where they're, you know, they're on a street during rush hour, and of course, where they're moving them in is one of the southbound from the north side street.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So that's why they got to keep them organized.
Well, but I mean, you if you get four guys piling out of a car, throwing it in three or four of those postal things, you can empty that car in a minute and a half if you got the right guys. Then you just tell Dad, go, we'll get it up to a room, and Dad goes. Who knows where he goes from there, but he goes someplace. It's like being in a bar at closing time. We don't know where you got to go, but you just can't be here, right, Russell?
Exactly. Well, I'm excited. I love teaching. I love the kids. They aren't bitter and jaded by the world yet. So I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to school starting back next week.
So what would you do if I showed up like in the back of your class as a student, bitter and jaded?
Bitter and jaded, we would have a debate.
Do you have any?
And the kids, we would have a debate. We would get really hostile, and half the kids' jaws would drop, and then somebody would report me for the inappropriate things I say, and you would have ruined one of my favorite jobs ever.
Do you have any older students? Like?
I do. I'm actually teaching graduate level derivatives and graduate level financial ethics. So I have lots of adult students.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have one freshman class, and I'm teaching graduate derivatives. So I have both ends of the spectrum.
I have a question for you, and this is a very serious question, because I think an awful lot of people, and I'm not trying to walk you down a legal path here, but if there was a product, like, say, some of those things that blew up a year ago, those kind of VIX things, the notes?
The inverse volatility ETFs.
Well, they weren't Fs, they were ETNs.
ETNs.
Now, if their value was totally derived from, like, different VIX months and things like that, now, they're not an option. Would you consider that a derivative?
Yes, I do. It's funny, I was talking to one of the Chinese exchanges last night, because I am 24/7. And we were talking about equity-related derivatives. I even consider the SPY a derivative because it's deriving its price from the S&P 500.
Okay, but no, but they actually,
definitely the ETN.
Yeah, the ETN. But I mean, I would say that the you can cash settle out a spider. So I might debate you on that one.
You can, well, yeah, but you can. What you can do with the spider is you settle it, and you get a basket of stocks.
Right,
it's the
right.
Same as if you. What happens if I'm going to do something you've done to me multiple times? What happens if you exercise an equity call?
Well, you get the stock.
Yeah. So, I should write an article about why ETFs are really. Or have more in common with derivatives than people give them credit for.
By the way, one of the we had some people from China. When I say we, somebody who at the time was affiliated with PTI that is not any longer, but they did a lot of commodity stuff, and they had some. We had these seven Chinese people, three, four guys, evenly split, maybe three, four guys, three, four ladies, whatever it was, and so one of the members of the Options Institute came out to dinner with us. And he gave him hey, how about that Taiwan?
Oh my gosh.
Now, did you mention how much you love your president kicking Taiwan all these F-16s last week?
No, I did not bring that up at all. China's getting ready to open up their equity derivative markets once again. They kind of closed them down to outside folks in August of 2015, and their equivalent of the S&P 500, the CSI 300, those things were, the volume on those was greater than what we see on the S&P 500 futures. Now it's about 1-2% of what it was.
Really?
Because, the government came in, basically the rule that they made, and you're going to love this one, is you can't trade the futures unless you're a legitimate hedger. And that's it.
So what would we be, illegitimate hedgers?
I'm just telling you, they basically made it illegal for somebody to speculate using their equity index futures.
What Russell is talking
45 minutes talking about why that's wrong.
Well, what Russell's talking about is there is always a on the Board of Trade, say, there always was a distinction. There's position limits I mean, the position limits have gotten so big, they're almost like not limits anymore, but they used to be position limits on options. When I started, it was 2,000 contracts either side of the market. So any combination of long call, short put is on the same side of the market, or short call, long put, so you can only be 2,000 in any equity in any of those. And at one point, it got to, it was 25,000 in the OEX, then it was 50,000. Now it's so big, I don't know, does anybody ever run a position limit problem anymore? I doubt it.
The decade I was at Cboe, I don't remember it ever happening, but they also, you can hedge, you can delta hedge yourself out of the position limit problem.
Right, well, they have all ways of basically, you can wiggle around it if you're big enough, which is the usual, that's the American way lately, it seems. But, and the commodity side, if Russell or I or one of the listeners opened up an account at PTI and you said, I want to go basically, you know, balls out soybeans, your limit was 3 million bushels, right?
As an individual. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
But now if you were a legitimate hedger, meaning you were a farmer and you happen to have 6 million bushels, you could sell all 6 million. Or if you were Kellogg's and you needed 40 million bushels for cornflakes, you could buy 40 million. So you could register as a legitimate hedger, and those people had a higher position limit, correct?
Exactly.
So the definition came from us. So what the Chinese are telling you is like only people who own all the stocks and get basically a hair up there behind, they don't like them, they get to sell a future. But then even they must know, who do I sell it to? Right?
That's the you just nailed the issue right there. So, you know, who else? It ruins your market.
Kellogg, for them to take that massive a position, somewhere on the other side of it, after you filtered it through the market makers, or the locals on the floor, as they used to call them, after you filter it through them, somewhere on the other side, that probably matches with some massive position of 28 farmers in Iowa, right?
So yeah, or something along those
lines. But any given minute, the people on the floor with the $3 million bushel thing, those are the guys you make the trades with until the other people come in. I mean, it eventually will balance out. I shouldn't use this word. Legitimate buyers, legitimate sellers, and then the people that make it happen in the middle, right?
Yeah, and I think legitimate's the best term there. I think everybody understands what we mean by that. I can't come up with a better term either.
But it doesn't mean that if you or I are a PTI client who wants to buy, 10,000 bushels of corn or soybeans, isn't a legitimate buyer. They are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they want to buy some. But I'm saying that's not the reason why the building's there.
Correct. Correct. That's not that's not why our industry, I forgot what the number is, but our industry is directly responsible or indirectly responsible for 80,000 jobs in Chicago.
Used to be.
Something like, I think it's just different types of jobs, but that's a whole different other conversation. It's just more IT jobs than trading jobs,
Well,
the nature of the jobs is changed.
There's probably more guys you need to clean up the floor because there's nobody down there. It gets dusty or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, but the point being is that there's a legitimate, you always have to ask yourself the question, if all of a sudden, Russell, we take Russell's bank account and we go over to China and we get 90 billion yuan and we don't want to buy stocks, we just want to buy the futures to get us in the same spot, but we're too lazy to actually go buy all the stocks, we say, screw it, I just want to buy the market. Like somebody comes in I'll do that today I can put money to work today. I'm going to buy spiders for somebody or to Russell. I don't want to buy all 500 stocks. I'm just going to buy the spiders. Now, is that legitimate? Sure it is. My client wants to invest. Now, but if I'm not there, so if the only person who can sell a call in the spiders is somebody who owns $90 billion worth of stock, who's he going to sell it to? He might sell it to my guy who wants to just buy calls in the spiders because he doesn't want all his stocks. So, I mean, you need to make a two-sided market here somewhere or you don't get anywhere.
Right, right. Well, that's basically what's happened over there, and for right now. But they're getting ready to walk a lot of that stuff back, and if they walk it back and get back to where they were, it's going to be a formidable thing for people to trade. That's for sure.
Well, except for now that they've in the last however many years you probably told me here and I forgot however many years. How often have we changed the rules?
That is how do you model that?
You know model what I mean?
Any model that there's a possibility of, you buy put options on the CSI 300, which they don't have, but you buy those, and all of a sudden, you know, the market sells off 10%, and the government decides that there's too much volatility, and they shut down the market. I mean, how do you model that? And then if that's even that's like a 1 in 1,000 event, do you want to trade that market?
Well, I mean, here's how you model it.
That's what becomes the problem.
Here's how you model it for me and my investors. If you know, Russell comes in and says, "Chief, here's a small piece of my nest egg. Here's $10 million. I want you to manage it. And I'd like to be 5% China." I would say, "What's the funky FXI?" All right. So the thing, I've got it up here. It's 39.44. Now, I'm not giving investment advice, but I'm saying, okay, what do you think, Russell? I think they're going to be up 10% this year. Okay, you know what we're going to do? And you're going to want to put in, what, $1 million? Okay, let's divide $1 million by 39.44. That comes out to the equivalent of, what, 2,000 shares or something, or 20,000, whatever
about
the number
2,500,
is. 2,500 shares. Why don't we buy the 38.45 call spread for next June 25 times and just live with it and not try and trade it, not try and do anything. And if you're right, it'll be up. And if not, we know just what we put in the mess. But to try and trade this thing back and forth when it's a horrendous product to trade is crazy. I mean, there's ways to do it, okay? You know what I'm saying? You don't try and trade it. You just put on, and we're going to put our position, our 25 lot in for, if it takes my guy JD 2 weeks to get it on at our price, it takes us 2 weeks to get it on. And you know what? If it closes over our top strike, we don't have to worry about it. It cashes out, right? Essentially, it exercises out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's ways to do this, but to try and trade this thing month to month or week to week like I do in a liquid U.S. product, I mean, you're out of your mind, I think.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to. It's just, oh, well. So, you know, they're thinking about opening things up. Hopefully, I think they'll open things up, but then they're going to have to get everybody to believe that they won't close things down again or change the rules on you midstream.
Well, if they start going down, or what happens in this future, I'm going to go, now that I'm already out there on a limb talking about different types of things with people, and I think our listenership actually doesn't mind, hopefully. What happens to a futures contract if all of a sudden their markets start going down? They have been down some, and all of a sudden, you know, this, you know, again, I don't want to predict this, but if all this crap keeps happening with these central banks, all of a sudden there's going to be a, I won't say a cliff, but certainly a little drop off.
I mean, we're due for global volatility. How's that?
I think, yeah, we're due for a revaluation of prices. This is all it's holding. Anyway, the point being is, now you've got these futures, and if all of a sudden the Chinese market starts to drop and they do what they did before, we're going to essentially execute short sellers. What does that do to the futures? Then they're going to be totally mispriced because nobody can buy a future from anybody because they can't sell the stocks as their hedge. So if they're not going to stick with the rules over a period of time, it's a very difficult thing to trade. You could be left holding your pants up when there's no pants type of thing. Easy.
Well, you know what? My job is going to be to work with these guys and make sure they can properly articulate this to the government.
And your
job. That really is the... And luckily, they actually have a historical example to work with, which is, you know, what I was just talking about, the CSI.
But you also need...
Futures contracts.
You also need a massive upfront payment. At a huge hourly rate.
If
it blows up, it blows up.
I work cheap. Just give me a business class ticket over there, and I'm happy to come over and work.
$500 an hour and a cardigan a week. I know, it's chump change.
500? Okay.
All right, 800, sorry.
I'm just kidding. You're actually pretty close on that one, actually.
And only 400 if it's while you're on the plane in business class.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you couldn't get me going over there and coach. But
you're
smarter than me.
You know, the first time SIBO sent me on a global trip, they sent me to Australia, and nobody told me that I could fly business class.
You know what, though, Russell? How bad is
it? I mean, and I came back, and they looked at my expense report, and they're like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, my God.
I have a question for you. For those of you who do travel, I actually don't mind being back in steerage, but I got to get an exit rope. My legs, I can't fold them up.
You're too tall for anything but that or the bulkhead row.
Right. So, I mean, what is it?
Called? I don't know how you could. I see really tall guys heading toward the back sometimes.
Yeah, it's
and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I just feel for them.
It used to be it was marginally okay, but now they moved them closer. You got
they're tighter.
If the guy in front of him puts his seat thing back. But how much more do they hit you for the exit row or the bulkhead these days?
It's about, you know what, I booked a ticket for my sister yesterday, and they want an extra $35 to put her in the bulkhead.
That's not bad.
No. I was using points or using miles to send her somewhere. But, yeah, they just it was each way. I didn't give it to her. She's only 5'3". So, there.
Well, my brother used to fly a lot of Southwest Air. He was A personnel. So when we flew together, I got to go with him. I don't know if they do that anymore. So if you're A personnel, you always get an exit row.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not a problem. With the bulkhead's not as much because there's no place you can put your stuff in front of you.
Right. That's why I hate that row.
Yeah. But anyway.
What's
the difference between...
We're really talking about everything but the U.S. market, huh?
Yeah, so what...
Because it just keeps doing a Charlie Brown shirt thing.
Well, how much...
Up and down.
As a man who's worked at the exchanges and places still deeply involved, how much of the 30-some points one way or the other every single day is just total lack of market fabric? There's nobody in the way until... I mean, where are we?
I think there is some of that. We are at a less liquid time of the year, but when you get all of that goofiness going on, it usually is the indication that we're topping out. I think that's really what's going on.
Well, I don't know if you were watching.
We're putting in a big top, and a top relative to several years of price action.
Do you think that the current investors or people who have gotten used to this market since 2009 are ready for a decade where stocks are lower 10 years from now than they are now?
Absolutely not.
That's going to be brutal.
I really don't. I'm certain they aren't. It's just because our memories are so short-term.
I'll tell you, if I
were bumping up against retirement age right now, I would be as conservative as possible.
Interesting you should mention that. When I see you in person, I'm going to tell you about a presentation I have to make in a couple of weeks to, shall we say, a foundation that's sort of just getting started. And you know what, Russell? I'm going to have to say they've already gotten proposals from like four other. I won't even say what I think they are mentally, that have like we're talking about as conservative as you get, like a nursing home kind of thing.
Yeah,
and they already have people giving them the pie chart, doing the 10% overseas, 60% big cap, and I'm going, you got to be out of your mind.
Could you hear that sigh?
Yeah.
That sigh go all the way from the western suburbs to the studio?
And I know I'm going to be there, and I'm sure they're going to wing me out of the presentation. I'm going to say, look, you guys are just getting this thing going. You need to be stable. You need to have, you got to show something that you are so stable, even if the market falls apart. You don't care at this number, really, if you make any money. You want to set this up for the next contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that guy knows that you're running this ship tight. So if you take this number, say it's $1 million. If you take this number and we put 90% of it into a fixed or 95% of it into 2% T-bills, and we get an auction every 8 weeks or whatever we're going to get, and maybe, we do a little tiny call spread just to be in the market, just a hair. I don't see how you go wrong doing that. You need this million to be a million one next year or a million 50. It can't be under a million. Just can't be. Right? Am I right or not? I mean, because the next person can say, how'd you do your next year? Well, we just got started. We're very conservative. We started with a million. Now we got a million 50. That sounds so much better than I put in the market and now we're at 800, but it's okay. That crap doesn't fly, I don't think, for something.
No,
like
and
that.
if they're at 800, they got to make what?
Yeah,
25% to get back to even.
Yeah,
Well, that's what I would show them. Maybe I'll help you with your presentation because I like you.
Well, thank you. Well, how about we go to break? Well. SP Futures up 22. NASDAQ Futures up 59. So we're ratcheting up. It's about where we were when we came in. Like on Monday, Russell, at the end of the show, we were up 34. At 10 minutes after 3, we were up 34. Isn't that spectacular? We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, Mr. Russell Rhodes on the phone. S&P Futures up 21.25, NASDAQ Futures up 56, except for huge retail earnings sales out of Target is up $14 now, $99.72. Lowe's up 12, $110 bucks. So when you went shopping there, look what you did for them. It's not a bad thing. Dow Futures up 185. Europe DAX up 145, 1.2%. FTSE up 80, 1.1, CAC round up 83, 1.5. We're getting very close to doing this European deal where they're going to even go crazier on the negative interest rates and put more money in the system. We also have Fed minutes coming out today. Who knows? Maybe the Fed minutes are already out. Somebody already knows. Nikkei down 58.3%. Shanghai down 33 cents. I'll say that's flat. Hang Seng up 38. That's flat for those guys as well. Bonds, 10-year, 1.588. The Bund, negative 0.67. Japanese 10-year, negative 0.24. Oil, up 60 cents, 56.73. Brent up 93 cents, 60.96. That's... seen Brent over pretty close to 61. We haven't seen it there in a little while. We've got gold down $5, 15.09. Silver down 10 cents, 17.04. Hey, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. This sports weather traffic update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The guide to money and probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription. Just visit luckboxmagazine.com/jocks and register today. Off to a decent start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. That earlier crash on I-355 northbound at Roosevelt Road is all clear, so that's good news. We have no other significant crashes in the area as far as the Edens, Kennedy, Eisenhower, and Stevenson are concerned. Normal traffic volumes there. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford looking good, too. The only crash to report right now appears to be on the Tri-State southbound. Just before Bensonville Bridge, there is a crash, and that's blocking the left lane, causing some congestion, so expect delays in that area. Everything else looking okay out there as far as the expressways are concerned. Off the expressways, there's a crash with injuries at Normantown Road and Weber Road out near Bolingbrook in the southwestern suburbs. Everything else looking good. Weather today, a hot and steamy afternoon, but we should stay dry, and then we actually cool off a little bit heading into the weekend. It's going to be very pleasant over the next several days. But today, warm, humid, high of 85. Right now it's sunny and 69 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot with a high of 114 today. Right now it's clear and 83. In sports, Cubs won their third straight last night, opening up their homestand against the Giants with a 5-3 victory. They were powered by two Anthony Rizzo home runs in that one. White Sox were blown out by the Twins up in the Twin Cities. 14-4 was the final. Diamondbacks, clinging to their wild card hopes, topped the Colorado Rockies 8-7. Chief.
The well, so I just want to run one by you here. I mean, he's obviously his retail numbers. Two questions. I'm going to say that even though, obviously, Christmas is, you know, the holiday that it is, and people go, you know, crazy buying kids' toys and so forth. Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm just saying, you know, Christmas is this holiday. I'm going to say, to me, and since you are involved with schools, I'm going to say on the necessity scale, back to school is becoming a bigger shopping day for a lot of families. I know if I was a parent and I had people heading back to high school and college, I'm going to guess I spend a hell of a lot more in August making sure they have the right stuff than I really worry about a Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it absolutely is. It's one of those things you can't, you know, you've got some discretion. You want to buy the kids everything you can for Christmas, but I know for a fact, as I just dropped off my rising ninth grader at Bennett Academy, that they're just things that you don't get, that you don't have a choice but to actually purchase for schools.
I would
for back to school.
I'm going to ask you at the Bennett Academy. I know one of the contributors of the show, his son is starting first year in one of the Catholic schools in the city. I won't say which one. All the duds have to be purchased from L.L. Bean. Land's End, sorry. And they have to have the insignia of the school, the polo shirts, the khakis, the whole bit. I was astounded when I heard that. So, there's a nut. Let's see, 5 pairs of pants, 12 shirts, I mean, right?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Oh, my goodness, I was muted.
So they have to buy them. They have to buy them.
No, I know. We did, and of course, my kid... We bought the stuff back, like, I think June 2nd, the day after she finished grade school.
Okay, so was there specific stuff you had to buy?
Oh, yeah. She's got the skirts, it's really also shorts.
Right, so it's all nine yards.
Type of shirt.
So it's not as
bad as some of the other schools.
But still, it's not something that you'd go to your closet and say, here it is, it's all got to be new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but, I mean, when do you think the and again, it's I have issues with my financial press people that I don't have near as big issues maybe as Kevin and Cheryl Atkinson did, but when are they going to get the head of Target up there when he's, talking about how good the quarter was? And don't get me wrong, it was a good quarter for those guys. When is somebody like me going to say, sir, if you had to guess, what do you think the average price of an item in your place is this year versus last? You said your sales are up 3%. Is the inflation 2? Is it 4? Is it 8? Is it 0? What is it?
Is it volume, or is it everything costs a little bit more?
I mean, why can't we ask the question?
You can.
You'll never be back.
But hold on. But you know what? Let's say you are the, and I'll use a firm that's not around anymore. Let's say that you are the retail analyst from Lehman Brothers, and you ask such a question, and they fumble around on it because nobody ever asked them that question, and the stock drops 5% instead of rallies like it is right now. Are you ever going to get an investment banking deal out of Target again?
No. Also, he'll never come back. Now, what I understand at CNBC, not that we know people from there, they'll give you a list of questions. They'll give you a list of questions they'll answer, and if you ever ask another one, they'll never come back.
And I having worked at a public company, I know that for a fact too.
Well,
at a multiple public company,
pretty much sucks.
Remember Grubman, the telecom analyst that they ambushed on in New York, where they found CNBC found emails where he was basically raising the profile and his price target and everything and the rating on AT&T because he wanted to get his kid into a fancy school.
Well, that was
and they grilled him. Why don't they do that more often? Is where I'm going with that.
Because we here on Stacks and Jacks, we still are foolish enough to think that what we are talking about is the truth and it's news. Those guys, they don't have any sort of fixation like that. It's all ratings. So if you want to be the first person to have AT&T's chairman on after their, if you want to beat Fox News and Bloomberg to have the guy on there, you're not going to ask him a question he doesn't want to answer. A, he's not going to be there at all, and B, you're sure not going to be first. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
By the way, that guy ended up going to...
You're stealing thunder from my financial ethics class.
Financial lack of ethics class?
Well, no, I can't call it that. Financial ethics class, Just and I've been telling undergrads for years that CNBC... I'll show a picture of one of the more high-profile people, not a friend of ours, from CNBC, and say, he is not there to make you money. He's there to get you to watch TV.
Right. Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. Although they did...
You just have to be aware of that.
They did finally, after all these years, somebody stuck it to your bosom buddy, Larry Kudlow.
Yeah.
You see, did you watch Meet the Press on Sunday?
No, but I heard about it. I haven't seen it, but I heard about it.
It was, I thought it was special. And you know what Larry's lame excuse was?
Fire away.
All the economists were wrong. It wasn't just him, so it's okay.
Nobody got it right.
Well, the point was he was touting his president and their administration, being a Republican. He wasn't telling the truth. Or he didn't know the truth, or he wasn't close enough to call himself a big-time economist, or wasn't doing a job. One of those things. Now, I'm not going to accuse them of knowing we were going to crash and saying we weren't. I mean, I've heard that he's a pretty good guy, so I'm not going to say that. But how do you be in that position and not know that? How do you be in the Fed and not realize that there's 35 hours of leverage on every dollar of mortgages? I mean, you and I are not going to know that. Even you, with the resources you have, are not going to know that. That's what the Fed's there for. They see the money flows. Where's all this money coming from?
They're supposed to have better information than we do.
I would say that
I think, doesn't the Fed employ more PhDs than any other entity?
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
And they somewhere should be, well, I forget who the guy was, Bernanke at the time, or no, yeah, it was Bernanke. He just, Was he just in, or was the other guy still there in 2007?
He was just in. He inherited all that.
Right, don't you think somebody would tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, Ben, my man, you see this line here? Why, what's that? It shows all this money coming from Japan one way, nothing going back the other way, and they're all buying these mortgages. We got a problem. He's the only person, I think, or the Fed is the only place that would know that. Maybe the Treasury, I don't know, but, right? I mean, you and I would not know that.
No, we wouldn't. It would be very difficult for us. Well, again, I'm one soon-to-be PhD. If you've got hundreds of them, they should be able to figure it out much quicker than I can. It's not just Bernanke, it's the whole team. They should be able to figure it out.
Well, we had the I think he might have been the top. I don't know if he's still there, but we had the chief economist managed to show up at our adult beverage table one night where a lot of the Fed guys and other people and I just kind of hang out once in a while. And of course, he found out I did the show, and we started talking about economics, and obviously knew more about economics than I'll ever dream of, and somehow we got on the CPI numbers, and I said, well, how do you guys even use these things? They're so screwed up. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, look at them. I mean, they're all wrong for 15 years.
What do you mean? Doesn't that scare you right there?
Well, I mean, his point was they're not done by us. They're done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So the last thing you need to do is when you have a meeting of all the governors and essentially the Fed meeting we're talking about, it's 2 days or a day and a half, you spend the entire first day talking about how the numbers you get from another group of government basically sucks. And I said, well, okay, I get that part, but when you know they basically suck, how do you sit there all day long like if they don't?
did you not get the response, the basic, well, we've got nothing else to work with?
Yes,
response?
He said these are what we have to work with.
Yep, that's typically, well, then invent something new. You got a lot of PhDs there.
Well, they actually use the PCE.
Yeah.
But you know what they do?
I know they use some secondary ones that the pundits don't talk about as
much. But the PCE is, if you look at the ungoverned PCE, unadjusted, is medical care 20%. The adjusted is down to 5%. It's worse than the CPI. So as a country, as a city, Washington has decided to not consider healthcare as part of the CPI. Or college education, really. So when you take those two things out, I mean, if all of a sudden your education and your medical, now you and I mean, I used to know, you're a professor, you still know, that if you got Maddie Weber's paycheck, and all of a sudden you have a little alligator take a big bite out of the paycheck for something you don't count, and what he's left with, his total demand for everything is now dropped because he's missing one of his legs, basically, right? Am I right or not? So he's going to have less to spend on TVs, Nehru jackets, you name it, because he's got less to spend. So it doesn't surprise me that the rest of the stuff isn't moving because a chunk's coming somewhere else.
Yeah.
So actually,
you know why they're excluding healthcare and college? Because they're just getting ahead of us not having to pay for that anymore.
But the interesting part though is there's a sinister thing with this particular group, and I'm getting these feelings. And I hope I'm wrong. Their attitude is the people who don't deserve the stuff, let's just not give it to them. If somebody's is not a citizen, well, he doesn't get to go to county hospital. That's how we cut the price down of county hospital. That's pretty un-American to me, and yet.
Oh, yeah.
But this group, that's where they're headed.
You don't want to turn anybody away that needs help like that.
But this group's ready to do that, I think. I'm sure if you asked them that particular question, the answer would be no. But all the policies are, what's the latest thing in the last week? They're trying to deny all kinds of citizen benefits to people that are here illegally and have been for a while under the auspice that they don't pay for them. And yet people who are illegally
pay
as much for county hospital as a person who's a citizen.
They probably pay more than some of our citizens.
Probably, yes.
You know,
but I mean,
if they're,
But people want to hear, people want to hear that Joe is not paying his fair share. Because you and I talk about this, one of the few things we agree on, that if the economy is not growing, everybody has this feeling that for somebody to do better than me, he must be cheating, or somehow I'm getting screwed. Right? I mean, it's
absolutely.
And we're sort of there. And I don't know how you turn that bus around socially, do you?
No, it's, we've only got about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I never.
I don't know. No, it's, that's an attitude type thing. I don't know. You've got to, what turns that bus around is when everybody rallies around a single point of whether it's, everybody rallies together because we've gotten sucked into World War II. Or
right.
Everybody, rallies together because we basically all have a common enemy for one reason or another.
Well, we wanted to land a man on the moon.
Yeah.
I've never...
Right. Thank you. Much more positive one.
Yeah.
I was trying to come up with a positive one. And right now we're kind of split.
Can someone explain to me why anyone cares how anyone else is doing?
It's just human nature, unfortunately.
I must not have that.
And when you don't have something else that's really capturing your attention, and there's not this big we going on, you start to look at each other.
I've never understood I hate the rich guy, or I hate the immigrants because they're taking my jobs, or I'm jealous of this guy because he's doing well and he must be cheating or he must be getting screwed. I just don't care how other people are doing. I just worry about what I'm trying to do, and who cares?
The new older Matty Weber very rarely does this these days. He used to do this all the time when he was 25. Okay, now he's, what are you, 36 now?
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to take you out for a shot or something.
Which day?
It's the 8th on the Sunday, so yeah.
Oh.
I'll be 36, which is doesn't sound old yet, but it sounds like it's getting there.
Well,
if longevity goes, you're only a third of the way done.
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
Let me put it to you this way, Matty. When
that, of course, would be assuming I live to be 108.
Yeah.
You could do better than that. Your generation.
Yeah.
Actually, white guys are doing worse now, though.
Is that true?
Oh, God, yeah. The amount of white guys dying between like 40 and 55 is going off the chart.
Before you forget, though, I'm interested to hear what your point's about to be.
Well, my point is right now you pay rent, you have a good job, two good jobs. Well, you come in here and help me out. I don't know if you want to call that a good job, but you do a nice job. You've yet to zero in on this. There's going to come a day when you and Jill own a spot and you're going to get your tax bill. Your tax bill is going to be up 15%. And last year, your raise was 5. Because you guys are good at what you do, and yours is none and hers is 10. Let's put it that way. and you're going to say, hey, what the bleep? The mayor just got a 40% raise. Or this guy's getting this pension that because they padded his stuff for the last week and he's making 150 grand doing nothing. You're going to get the feeling that your tax bill is up because people are cheating you. And the fact is, now, back in the 60s, when everybody was, I'm going to be Mayberry here, but everybody's getting a 5% raise, the teachers are getting a 4% raise, your taxes are going up 3.5%, everything seemed all right with the world. Okay, and the guy who made more, maybe he worked Saturday and you didn't, he worked overtime, you didn't. But now, there clearly is, if you just look around, I mean, and I won't say act older, but act like you're paying all these numbers. Do you honestly think that, the money that increases go to you, it's going to somebody who's not working anymore, the pensioner. He's getting a 3% raise on his pension, and you only got a 2% raise at your job.
I get that, and you're not wrong. But I don't know. I don't know that I blame the individual people because, one, when
I'm not talking about you're going to go
shoot the
guy. I'm
but
just
that's
saying.
How people are, though. It's either you hate the rich people or you hate the immigrants or the lazy, welfare people, quote-unquote. And I just don't understand that.
Well,
I don't have those feelings either way.
I don't know that he would walk down the street, he would still recognize. We used to talk in a club all the time. Mayor Daley. Okay. I know that his day they put him back on as whatever the hell he was, a school teacher for a day, to get him a $40,000 more year pension than he deserved. Somewhere, it's costing me 2 cents a year. Now, 2 cents, I guess I don't care, right? But the fact is, it shouldn't be costing me anything. He got something, and we're paying for it. And what I'm saying, Maddie, is there's a lot of people that are living below their means, or I mean, they're living above their means. The person whose taxes are up double in 8 years, and his salary was 35, and now it's 36, he's like, what the bleep? Who are all these people that deserve all this, and I'm not getting squat? I'm saying it enters your mind.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand why it could enter someone's mind. I'm just not going to let it enter mine.
Ever.
I'm going to try not to.
Ever.
I mean, I will absolutely get mad about government, things that don't work or seem wasteful or whatever. Anyone would get mad at that.
The first day.
But to put all your focus on hating immigrants like the Republicans all your focus on hating rich people like the Democrats do, I don't get that.
You've never heard me say that.
I'm just saying as a country.
In general, it's just, it seems to be something that has, I got 16 years on you, and I can tell you that the focus that people have on other people and the bitterness that they seem to have toward other people when they're not happy with themselves just seems to have gotten worse.
Well, I mean, look at...
I see it. I experience it because, I'm a middle-aged white guy that everybody probably has, that lots of groups have bitterness toward.
And I think that's why on one side you have people rallying around Trump because he points at the immigrants and says it's their fault. And then you have another side rallying around Bernie because he points at the corporations and the rich people and says it's their fault. And people rally behind those two things. And I just think it's a weird way to live.
The identity politics thing has just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I think it's because there are not that many giant macro issues right now. That affect people individually.
As a economics professor, so you're more of an economics numbers guy. I'm more of a behavioral economics guy. The guy who used to make $35 an hour that's still making 20, that knows he's worth 35, is pissed off because jobs went overseas. All of a sudden, a PhD can't get a job because we have this HB1 visa thing. Those guys are making less than I think I deserve. And oh, by the way, that guy can't even change jobs. That is a system designed to keep my wages down. But I mean, all this stuff is there. But Maddie, what I'm trying to get you to do, and I expect you to agree with me because God knows one is enough. Put your mind, be like Don Corleone. What did Michael say? The thing that sets my father apart is he can put he can think like his opponent and realize where the other man's coming from. I mean, this thing, why should I, if I had a kid?
I think you're trying to explain to me why. I understand why. I'm saying I won't let it happen
saying
to
is
me.
Ever? Now, when you take young Maddie or young Jill and you walk into Notre Dame and they want, oh, Mr. Weber, looks to me like you and your wife have a nice job. We want 90 grand. Well, what is the average person paying here after grants? By the way, you guys got a $4 billion thing here. You're giving out money to some people. And the guy who's running it makes $80 million a year. Why am I paying 100 when other people are paying 20? Well, that's just the way it is, Mr. Weber. I mean, you may not be mad at it, but don't tell me you're not going to reflect that someday when it hits you.
You might be right.
Now, whether it turns into madness, I don't think you're going to pull out a gun and shoot the guy. You're probably going to go to another school like a rational person would, right? But you're not going to like it. Right? Why would you?
I agree.
I mean, I'm just saying. The reason why people feel these ways. A lot of it is. I mean, how many people, white and black, I guess, should we say, European American or African American? How many are sitting on the sofa saying, "I could have gone to Harvard, but they let the black guy in because there was minority set aside."
Only idiots, but yes, are some.
And how many black guys are going to say, "I couldn't go to Harvard because I couldn't afford it like the white guys did"? And by the way, here I am sitting on a couch in a trailer. Wait a minute. There's a million other law schools. There's a lot of other things you could have done, right? But, I mean, don't think that mentality is not there.
I know it's there, and I'm saying it's wrong.
Okay, so...
Even better, how do we fix it?
Well, I think you don't.
We're all going to go away for a week. We're going to come back next Wednesday, and we're going to have it solved.
Well, I think you need to hit somebody who has a skill set that's 55 years old needs to get a job that he can show somebody and do something, use his head, use his experience, and A, get paid for it, not $10 an hour. I mean, Russell, if you and I ran the tire department at Walmart, I will guarantee you, in 6 months, we're selling more tires than that store ever did. I don't need some bleep to tell me, hey, you two guys are only worth $12 an hour. Doesn't matter if you sold $1 million worth of tires for me. Hey, bull bleep. S&P futures up 25. You got me going, Russell. Talk to you next week, buddy. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.